Welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show, where each week Eli and Tony chat with guests about autism, homelessness, underprivileged youth, and ways they're giving back to their community. The dynamic duo also answer your email questions and get you caught up on their past weekend. So, sit back, relax, and get ready for a terrific show. Here are your hosts, Elijah Winfrey and Tony Boucher.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and super talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today, folks. We have two terrific guests that are standing by, and we will get them on momentarily. But as we always do around this time, or about this time, let's get you caught up on our past weekend. Tony, I missed you. How was your past weekend? What did you get done? We are living in this new world, it seems, as far as, you know, kind of being sheltered in place. So how are you doing?
Yeah, I've actually noticed that I've been a little kind of just So I, you know, not really very motivated or excited to get things done. And so, you know, I've just been really aware of that and just acknowledging that I need to, you know, just be okay with that, spend the quality time that I can with family. And you know, we have gorgeous weather here. And so I've spent a lot of time taking some really nice walks. And that's been really, you know, enjoyable because we've been fortunate enough to have sun and cool breeze and so that has been good. You know, on a positive note, I don't want to bring everybody down too much. I wanted to share with our listeners that, you know, we've been doing a lot of online social groups and we had one this past week where everybody brought their pets. And so we're in a, you know, an online group and people brought dogs and cats. We had a python, we had a bird. And that was a lot of fun to have people share their animals and talk about and show off what they could do. And we had like 15 or 16 people show up for that. So that was kind of a neat thing. And, you know, if people are wondering, you know, some ideas, actionable ideas about what they can do during this time, sharing something, like, you know, sometimes we share projects we're working on, whether that would be jewelry or, you know, some other kind of craft, you know, share your pets with each other online. That was a really positive experience for everyone. So that's me. Eli, how are things going for you?
It's, you know, an everyday adjustment I think we're all having to make, you know, in our lives, and so far, you know, it's been good. And I guess being introverted by nature, you know, I'm okay. I have experienced, mm-hmm. you know, cluster headaches, and it's something that I think I've dealt with before, but you know, the family is doing really good. And again, you know, I admire my wife for being able to sit at her desk for large amounts of time, and I'm talking 3 or 4 hours, and you know, really getting work done. And you know, I try to do that. It's just hard to look at the screen for that long, and you know, without getting some type of headache, and I have to kind of maneuver about. But she's really good. My little guy's good. Tony, I will tell you, the adjustment with the remote learning for our son, mm-hmm. has been challenging. Mm-hmm. A bit. We're slowly making progress, but I think I really understand more now where parents are coming from with mm-hmm. trying to do your work and then help your child. You know, you're in essence the teacher, and so you know, he's really good at math. I'm not. So when he talks to me about fractions, or he comes to me with a paper about fractions, I'm kind of like, I wish I could help everybody, but I don't know. You know, I've forgotten all of that. So we're slowly making that adjustment. And, you know, I've read where so many single moms are having it really tough. And there's one mom who has a son on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, and you know, it's been really difficult to transition. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand it, and I hope that maybe, you know, the content, maybe it's less content that, you know, you have to, you know, teach your child going forward. I think mm-hmm. it'll make it a bit easier until we can transition fully into this, because we don't know if this is going to be the norm heading into the fall. I mean, there's just no telling. So, but other than that,
I can totally relate. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Other than that, I'm doing well. I had a great conversation with the Issaquah Food Bank here in Washington State, and you know, we bought some groceries for some families, and that conversation was really well. We hope to do more. And next month is Mental Health Month, and there's a friend of mine who was on the show recently, Carl Brooks Jr. He's a pastor. Mm-hmm. He's an advocate for autism and other special needs. And his son is going to sing two songs and put those songs out on social media, on the internet, raising money for mental health awareness next month. So I wanted to be sure to let the folks know about that. And his name is Carl Brooks III. So be on the lookout for those songs. And if I do get possession, I'll be sure to share those. You know, just checking in on folks, Tony, and making sure folks are doing well. Everybody's doing good so far, you know, thus far through this pandemic. And, you know, we're going to continue to take it a day at a time. I think that's all we
mm-hmm.
can do. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, today's show, I'm really pleased, you know, to have our two guests on today, because I think, you know, the information that they have is really timely given the situation. You know, we were just talking about how, you know, for parents who are working with kids, and I'm a single mom, and my 10-year-old is definitely, we're seeing a lot of, you know, it's anxiety provoking, and we're seeing a lot of, you know, that rigidness that he has as a kid on the spectrum, and a little bit of melting down and things that,
right.
You know, as he's, you know, trying to adjust to it. And we're all, you know, all three of us, you know, my daughter and my son and me, are all stuck in the house together. So, yeah, it's, I feel for everybody. But one of the issues is that we've got a lot of folks who are not just elementary school or high school age dealing with this adjustment, but college students. And our two guests today, I'm really excited to have on, because we're going to talk about how to get some support in place and make sure that folks who are in college are getting the accommodations that they need as well. So, you know, we have with us today Pete Cantrell, who's an attorney at Protection and Advocacy, and he works, you know, with people specifically who have disabilities, and he heads up the employment team, and they advocate for making sure that people who are in, in college, need college, get the accommodations they need, or if people are out there in the employment force, that they're getting the accommodations and services that they need. And then we have also with us today Nina Saini, who is an advocate who is working with Pete on this. And I just respect these two people so much. I've known Nina for several years, and she introduced me to, and they're both just really passionate and caring and impeccable at what they do. They have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and they do a lot of really phenomenal work in the community. So I'm really pleased that they've taken some time to join us today and share some of their knowledge, you know, with the listeners who are out there, you know, dealing with trying to get through college right now online. So
absolutely.
Nina and Pete, it's so good of you to join us. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So I know the kind of what prompted me to ask you guys to come on the show was, Nina, you had shared this beautiful handout that you guys have put together with just some really concise and helpful information for people. And so I thought that would be a good place for us to start today, was to go ahead and share that information with our listeners that you guys have on helping people to understand accommodations during this time. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you guys, and if you could, just share a summary of what that knowledge is for people so they can have it.
Okay. Would you like me to share how I got started as an advocate first?
You can if you want. Nina, it's up to you. If you want to start with that and then lead into it, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. So I think for me, how I was able to get started as an advocate, well, even before, advocating for myself, I had to understand my disability. And so I think the beginning of the whole process was, learning about what my, limitations or struggles and challenges are. And that started with, I wasn't diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum till my first year in my MSW program. And getting that diagnosis helped me to understand how to better articulate to other people what I might struggle with in social situations, which I would have never been able to do prior to obtaining that diagnosis. So, as a result of learning more about my, thinking introspectively and reflecting on my life, I was able to better articulate, some of the challenges I've had all throughout my life for other people. And so, for example, trouble understanding general questions or initiating conversations. Prior to my receiving a diagnosis, I was never able to explain that to people because I didn't have enough insight into myself to be able to explain those things. So it started with first better understanding who I was. And then after doing that, I went to my disability services office and advocated for myself, explain my disability in person, in my own words, to them. And then also, after receiving my accommodations, I would go in person and visit with my professors and explain to them, in my own words, what my challenges might be. So, for example, I would go, a lot of college students don't realize they can go to see their teachers during office hours and explain their disability. A lot of times they think that you just give them the accommodation form and that was it. And when I first started college, that's what I thought it was. I had initially been diagnosed with a different type of disability. And during that time, all I would do is just at the end of class, there was they didn't even have time to talk to me. I'd just say here you go, here's my accommodation form. And I didn't really talk to them. And I think in better understanding myself and my disability, how I could better get the accommodations that I needed, that I realized that having an interactive discussion is helpful.
It's a good point.
Yes. So going during office hours, I felt it was really helpful in helping my teachers to better understand my disability and how I'm impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just spending more time after class if they that they're going to have extra time to explain. Can go a long way in them understanding you better.
I really like that, Nina, because what I'm hearing you say is that it's not just giving them the list of the accommodations, but then it's letting them understand why you actually need them, so that they're not just following through with these instructions that don't have any context or meaning for them, that if they can really get to understand how your brain works and where you're having your struggles, then those accommodations are going to be more meaningful and they'll be better able to actually support you with those.
Right, definitely.
That's great.
Yes.
So you got into advocacy then as a self-advocate, and then you turned your passion towards supporting other people who could use help to advocate for them. Well, could you share with us some of those tips that you have for students then, you know, that you shared with me in your handout?
Okay. So in my first section on the handout, I list out various different types of disabilities and how the fact that you can receive accommodations for those disabilities, because I feel like a lot of people don't realize that maybe they can get an accommodation for their type of disability. Like, especially with emotional disabilities, like anxiety disorders or depressive disorders, like, they may not even think, like, they could get extended time. Like, that could even be a possibility for them, you know. Or especially if, like, they're right in the middle of that, like, dealing with those difficulties, they may not realize that either. So that's why I listed out some of the disabilities, just so they, like, at least could to a disability services office, or that might be a thought that could enter into their head about it. And so that's why I did that. And so it mentions how, just wanted to specifically point out that you can request accommodations for online classes, as well as different types of housing arrangements. You know, like when I first started in college, I had no idea that you could get an accommodation in a housing arrangement, too. So I felt that was important to mention. And then, let's see, I list out like various different types of accommodations that you can possibly receive. It's always up to the college, but like I wanted people to realize that there's not just, like, people tend to have like an idea in their mind about what kinds of accommodations can be given in colleges, and it really could just be something completely original, like their accommodation plan. And that's what I was trying to emphasize with this, or just to get them to just think about different types of possibilities for accommodations that maybe they hadn't thought of before, too, during this time.
I have a question about that. So, you know, especially with online classes being an issue right now, and it's so true, you don't know what you don't know. So, like, I know a lot of people know that you can have extended time, and a lot of people know that you could have, like, a private, quiet room without other students in it. But what other kinds of things could a person ask for that maybe people aren't aware, just to get people thinking about some options?
Right. Well, like, you could ask for closed captioning for lectures, so that the words appear at the bottom of the screen as the professor is talking. And, you know, like, prior to me getting involved in, like, understanding people with disabilities, or I actually had never thought of that as an accommodation for myself. And I actually use closed captioning all the time now. I even request it as an accommodation because I can follow people better with closed captioning.
That's great, Nina. I do that, too, when I watch movies.
Helps me. Both movies and TV shows, like, wherever I can do it, I use closed captioning all the time now. But yeah, just like people just don't really think that some of these accommodations could apply to you, to them sometimes. And so that's also why I bring that up, is to just get people to realize maybe some accommodations could be given that they've never thought of before. So like closed captioning, like note takers during class. Breaks during during class. Also, sometimes flexibility and due dates for assignments, that's actually an accommodation you can request. And I don't think college students realize that.
I think that's really important right now with the online classes, because that's one of the feedback I'm hearing from students who are now doing online, is that some of them were doing pretty well without having accommodations in the physical classroom, but now they're feeling pressured with time to get things done in the online setting. So that's a really great tip for people who are now adjusting to the online setting.
Yeah.
That's great.
And like, I was recommending in the fact sheet, like it's helpful for you to tell both your teacher and the disability services office if you're struggling. So like, they can work together sometimes, or like you can request the disability service counselor to attend a meeting with you and your professor if you think that might be helpful, for example. And they can try to, everybody can brainstorm together how they could like accommodate the situation,
mm-hmm.
or better accommodate your disability if you're having difficulties related to it.
That's great. Pete, I have a question for you. I'm curious, when is it the right time? Like, how do you know when it's time to bring protection and advocacy in? Like, at what point is that a good idea to get support from protection and advocacy?
You know, I think, Tony, there's really two times. And one time would be if you're just trying to figure out what your rights are. A lot of our work is doing what we call information referral or self-advocacy support, where we just talk to people, help them understand what their rights are, make some suggestions, maybe help them think it through, and then they've kind of got a plan of action that they carry out on their own. As far as when to contact us to ask us to get directly involved in and advocate on your behalf with the college or the university, I would say that is when you're not getting what you need, when you're hearing a no and you've asked. You know, you've been to disability services, you've talked with them, if it's a professor involved, you've talked with a professor, and you've tried, but you're not getting anywhere. You're hitting a wall. That is a really good time to contact us. And the other thing I would say is with college and university stuff, it's important not to wait too long, because obviously the further you get into a semester, the more it's going to affect your grade. So you don't want to wait too long. At the same time, make that attempt. Make that call to disability services. Sit down and talk with the professor and see if you can work that out. But if you don't, and you're hearing no, you're not getting what you need, then give us a call.
That's good. Eli, did you want to jump in here?
I just, you know, I'm just inspired by all of this. You know, what Nina was talking about and the tips. You know, I really, really appreciate that, and I know the listeners do as well. You know, I don't have a question so much as I do praise for the work that you both are doing. And, you know, I'm glad that you're on the show and we get to shine a light on that, because there are so many families who could use this information right now, who do have kids, you know, who may not know exactly what to say and how to say it and how to approach, you know, certain situations. So this is refreshing on a lot of fronts to me. And being an advocate, you know, I seem to learn new things every day, whether it's listening to Nina and Pete, you know, talk about the importance of things that you should do and you should have, or just, you know, meeting random folks that I interact with as I advocate in my community here in Washington State. So, you know, I commend you both, you know, because I know it's hard work. A lot of energy goes into it. And it's for me anyway, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of folks, a lot of families, a lot of moms and dads, you know, this is critical information that we can use and help folks who are maybe, what's the word I'm looking for, wanting to maybe communicate with their teachers and kind of share what their life's like or what they're going through. So I really appreciate both of you.
Mm-hmm. You know, Eli, you just triggered a question that I have for Pete, and that is, a lot of times I know I'm working with families who were very actively involved in the process when their kids were in high school. But once you get to college, you're kind of on your own because the colleges
right.
are not having the, you know, the parents have that you're an adult and you really have to begin that from a legal perspective so that they can help.
Tony, I was having a little trouble hearing the last part of your question. Let me try, and you tell me if I didn't answer it. You're talking about the difference between high school and college, particularly for the parents, and it's a big difference. That's a big change for families and for students. In high school, if you are involved in special education, particularly, the school has all the responsibilities. They have to locate you. They have to identify you. They have to evaluate you. They have to offer an individualized education plan for your education that includes accommodations. When you get to college and until the child turns 18, the parents are the ones that negotiate and sign the IEP. In college, for the most part, that student's an adult, and so they're the ones who are involved in the back and forth with the school. The school doesn't have any obligation to identify. The student has to identify themselves as an individual with a disability. The student has to prove that they have a disability. Some colleges help out with evaluations, but a lot of them don't. And so students and families may have to pay for the evaluations to show that this is a student with a disability and that this student needs accommodation. And sometimes parents have difficulties getting information. Usually the student can sign something to give the parent the okay to get the information or to give the school the okay to disclose it to the parent. But that's up to the student. So it's a real adjustment for everybody. No doubt about it. One thing I wanted to add was you don't have to, you know, if the school just says no and you've tried everything that we suggest in this fact sheet, there are other steps you can take. We have another fact sheet called the Rights of College Students with Disabilities. Both of these are available on our website. PANDA SC, so P and A, but you write the A and D all out, so it's pandasc.org. And basically, every school has to have an internal grievance process, and you can exercise that formal internal grievance process. And the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education has a complaint process, and our fact sheet has links to how you can contact OCR and file a complaint if you want to, or you can call P&A. And if you'd allow me to give you that number. It's 1-866-275-7273. And you can call, and anybody who you talk to should be able to give you information about how to file an OCR complaint if you want to do that.
So, Pete, what I'm hearing you say is that every student has the right to the grievance process. If you don't, if you follow through and you don't agree with their decision, you can take that further and go through the grievance process.
You can either through the school's internal grievance process, which they're required to have, or through the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, or OCR process.
So as a student with a disability, what are some of the other rights that I have that I might not be aware of?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Like, what are some of the rights that you know the students might not be aware of?
Yeah, I think you know, we've been talking about the accommodation process, and that includes a number of different types of things. Like Nina was talking about, not only academic accommodations, but modifications to policies and procedures, housing accommodations, architectural barriers on campus, food allergies. You know, there are a lot of students with food allergies, and the food service at the college or university has to accommodate the student with those kinds of things. Other types of things, I mean, just in admissions, you know, there shouldn't be a discriminatory admissions process that discriminates against students with disabilities. You have the right to accommodations in the admission process. All of those kinds of things. I'm trying to think, well, you know, access to extracurricular activities, you know.
Right.
Sporting events, the theater, concerts, that kind of thing. So if you've got a physical disability and you need access to get into those extracurricular events, then you know, you have rights there.
That's so interesting. So you're, I think that's really an insightful thing for students to recognize that if you're a member of the, if you're a participant in a student at a university, you really have a right to the full experience, is what you're saying. It's not just you get to go to your classes with the accommodations, but they want you to be able to experience the gamut of what it is, whether it's in, you know, where you live and the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, and the food service. That can be a really big one if you've got a student with serious food allergies. So,
yeah,
all of those things are part of the college experience, and you're entitled to accommodations and entitled to not be discriminated against in any of those aspects of college life.
Good to know.
Outstanding. Yes, indeed. Wow. Just fascinating stuff. Really is. Where can the listeners go if they have additional questions, you know, from both of you, you know, if they, you know, want to know more about, you know, this and, you know, what they need to do to maybe, you know, talk about these services.
Sure. Well, I think a couple of things. Our website, pandasc.org, is a good place. We've got a little resource button, and look through that list of resources, and you'll see a lot of stuff about education, employment, and all kinds of other disability rights issues. You can email us, info@pandasc.org, or call us at that toll-free number, 1-866-275-7273.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Tony, anything you want to, you know, ask before we wrap up with this dynamic?
No, just thank you both for joining us and sharing your knowledge and information with our listeners. I know it's really timely right now. And, you know, I learned some things today. So it's always fun when we get to come on the show and people open my eyes. So thank you for sharing today and taking time out of your busy schedules to be here.
Of course. Thanks so much for having us. We appreciate it, Tony and Eli.
I echo that. And you're both a welcome back any time. So please feel free to come back and share more. We would love to have you. And I know the listeners would love it as well.
Thanks.
You both take care, okay?
Okay.
Y'all too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Wow, Tony. I mean, you know, like I said, you learn new things every day. And, you know, I've never been one of those people who would say to anybody that I perfected anything, you know, because there's so much learning. Like, there's so much that you don't know, you know. And the more we do shows like this, you know, the more I realize that there's so much more that I have to learn, you know, not just about being an advocate, you know, but, you know, a leader and refreshing my mind constantly, you know, because there's always more content that you don't see on the other side of the mountain, you know, because you're so focused on the one side. So great guest today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's really good I love what Pete said about, you know, reaching out just to know, like, to explore your options ahead of time is great, because we don't know what we don't know. And
right.
It could be that something you hadn't even thought about is, you know, I'd never thought about, you know, really accommodating for special, you know, events, you know, so that if I wanted to go to participate in an after school activity, I would still have the right to do that. You know, and you know, Eli, we joke about this. I've been doing this a long time. So, you know, it's great to just really figure out ahead of time what your options are. I think that's great. And for those of you who might actually need to get somebody involved ahead of time because you're not getting results, a lot of times I think people are nervous about, you know, getting the lawyers involved because they don't want it to be a contentious situation. And I know
Absolutely.
I've seen, you know, both Nina and Pete in action as professionals. And, you know, Pete's a lawyer, but he's very diplomatic, and it can be a very positive experience. Doesn't have to be, you know, a contentious or an argumentative experience at all, especially when you get somebody in there like that who's got that experience and knows how to get things done. So I know it can be a scary experience, but it, you know, having that person who has the knowledge and that kind of the power to speak to the law can really, really help make sure you get the results. So I encourage anybody.
Absolutely.
Having questions.
Absolutely.
Reach out for that.
Absolutely. As we come to the end of the show today, what's the week look like for you moving forward?
Yeah, so more homeschooling, and I think, you know, we've got more social groups. We're having a get together online, of course, with the men and women that I work with. We're going to have a game night. So we're going to play Mad Libs this week. So I'm really interested in seeing how online Mad Libs goes. And yeah, so that'll be fun. And I'm really going to get out and enjoy the weather to the fullest extent that I possibly can.
Yes.
You know, I always get inspired by you because you're always talking about exercising and keeping your body active and being physical. And so I'm always like trying to take a chapter out of that, out of that book. So, you know, I'm really working right now on staying as active as possible, but doing that outdoors. How about you, Eli? What have you got going on?
You know, I'm going to make a few phone calls today. I hope to supply some families with food to get them through for a couple of weeks via the food bank. And so I'm going to work the phones on that and, you know, continue to kind of, you know, help my son with homeschooling, work out,
get those
fractions
done.
Yeah, try to get those fractions done. And, you know, I think continue to monitor my mental health. I think, you know, I've always been, you know, back and forth on that. But I think with this pandemic, it is teaching me that, you know, I have to remember that the most important thing in everything that I'm trying to do is me. And if I don't take care of me, then I can't, you know, kind of get out in the community and do other things and feel as free as I need to be. So
yeah.
I'm gonna keep working on that and thinking of ways of trying to be better and staying safe at the same time. So that'll be me for the rest of the week. So great show today. I want to thank Pete and Nina once again. What a great force, man! I'm just inspired by the work that they do, and I'm glad that they took some time to be on the show today. And I hope the folks that are listening to the show today, I hope you get out in your communities and you're safe. I hope you're checking on your family and friends. I hope you're putting smiles on faces of folks. It doesn't take a lot of energy at all to do that. And remember what I said, you know, we want to help as many people as we possibly can, but remember, you got to take care of you first. Okay, you come first, and if you can do that and do it well, then you can get out and help folks in need right now. So until next week, take care, God bless, continue to make someone or something better. Thank you for listening to The Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.